extra.
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? It's Friday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for the best of Sell or Die.
The best nuggets of sales wisdom every week, all in one place.
A sales slap in the face. A sales refresher.
I feel refreshed.
I can tell. And if you want to go back and listen to the full episodes, we've made it easy. There are links to each of the episodes right in the show notes.
If you love the podcast, if you're a true seller diehard, and you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet,
what are you waiting for?
Seriously, Friday is the best day to do it. It helps us so that we can help you.
It's time for the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme, sales grade A red meat. It's time
to sell or die. Think about this for a second. Like, I'm trying to change this belief, but the reality is the same. So the people aren't showing up, or they're not taking my bait to buy the whatever I'm selling. How do I overcome that?
Yeah. Well, so you keep working your belief, because sometimes we need some time to create the new belief, but you also have to take action. And you also, this is where it gets a little like, what? You have to take action, and you also have to release control a little bit. This is where the trust comes in. And if you're really operating as a solopreneur, you've got to have that level of trust that you are supported and that everything is working out for you.
So I totally understand. You had me with belief and take action. But let's talk about releasing that control. Who are we releasing it to?
Yeah.
And we're going to go woo. I can feel it.
We're going woo. So
Roger that. Full woo.
We need a sound. Yeah. We need a sound effect for woo.
Remember when Star Trek did it to Warp 9?
Like a Star Trek-y or like something. Totally.
Do we have Mr. Soundman over there, do we have a woo?
Do we have a woo?
No, we don't. We don't stock woo
no.
sounds, but we'll get some.
All right, we'll get some.
Get Ric Flair.
So how do we release this into the world? Like, what? Release control. Yeah. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So you know, I believe that there's a higher consciousness, the universe at large, if you will, is a giant, you know, everything in the world is energy. Everything is energy. You guys are energy in motion. I am energy in motion. The entire world is energy. It's not really that fixed. And so when we're releasing control, we're releasing the energy. The desire that we have carries an energetic imprint. And we're releasing that out into the universe, or, you know, if you want to say God, angels, your spirit, whoever, like whatever you want to attach that to, that something greater. We're releasing it to that. And we live in a co-creative universe. The reality that we're experiencing, we are co-creating that. We're experiencing that. We're creating that with our thoughts. And it's also being mirrored back to us because everything is energy. And so releasing control is letting your desire, having the desire, holding yourself as capable of experiencing the thing that you desire. Because a desire is an expression of your soul, of your highest truth. And you let that go. And can you lean in and trust that the universe at large, that greater energy field, is going to bring the desire to you?
So if you don't release control, is it that you would be in a state of worry or something like holding on to it and in potentially a negative way that could influence your thinking?
Absolutely. When you're trying to create new beliefs and you hold on so tightly, like you put a lot of expectations and conditions on how the belief is met, you know, so for, let's just use the donut shop example, right? If I'm saying, I always believe that I can sell 500 donuts a day, right? I always can sell 500 donuts a day by 3 p.m. And you get like really super specific. Sometimes people, that actually restricts us because we're holding on so tightly to how we expect something to happen. And that shows that we're not actually trusting. We don't actually believe that the universe or God or whoever you want to, whatever you want to call it, is supporting us. It's supporting you. And when you hold on tightly, you create more stress and more anxiety for yourself. And this is why what I see happen with so many people who are like, okay, cool. I'm going to, you know, buy into this whole mindset thing and this whole, you know, using affirmations and positive beliefs. I'm going to buy into that. And then a couple weeks later, they're like, why is nothing happening? This is horrible. I've been working my beliefs every day, right? We see that all the time. The reason why it's not happening is because you're holding on so tightly. You've got to have a co-creative, trusting experience.
Let me just tell you, Nikki, Jeffrey holds on very tightly to donuts.
Yeah, I do. Suarez Bakery deserves a plug here. But
so, oh, man. Okay, so you talk about a wealth mindset. Before we get into that, can you first define it for our diehards?
Yes. So wealth mindset is believing that we live in an infinite world, that you, that infinite abundance is available to us in every moment.
But you're going to get your share.
Yeah, there's more than enough. The world is infinite. The abundance of the world is infinite. There's more than enough because everything is energy. And so when I hold a wealth mindset, I hold myself as capable of creating and receiving all that I desire. And I also hold everybody else in that same light.
But in sales, it's so competitive, right? Yeah. Like I don't want my competitor to get the job. So how would you counter that if there was a mindset shift?
I want my competitor's abundance and my abundance.
You have to hold that as possible. You have to decide that it's, that there is no competition, that there's more than enough for everybody.
Okay. I'm only going to throw this at you, that we live in a world of laws, and you can only, you can get as much as you want, and then the government wants their share, the state wants their share. How do you deal with that crap?
If you truly hold a wealth mindset, none of those things matter. This is where
unless
we're
you don't
getting
file
into.
And then you
Nikki
turn
is, okay. Hold on. Nikki is not espousing tax evasion, Jeffrey. She's not.
Wait, no, and we can celebrate. Can we celebrate the taxes that we pay and the money, you know, that we owe? And
fuck
say,
no,
oh,
I'm not going to say.
But this
there's
is the
no
shift
way.
In mindset.
Throw your tax check a party.
Yeah, it's my favorite thing to do.
Think about it. This is true wealth mindset. This is true abundance mindset. If I can say, wow, I have a $100,000 tax bill this year. This is amazing because that means that I made, you know, whatever that is, $2 million or whatever it is, right? So we get
it
to.
Depends. It might be $200,000 if we change our ways.
Oh, calm down.
But
oh,
we're
calm
not
down.
Going
down. Calm down.
Hold that.
But listen, I don't disagree that it's a mindset at all. But I think that there has to be a game plan to create that abundance.
Guys, please help me welcome the great Heather Ballantyne.
So I can share just a quick story. I'm in Neiman Marcus in Las Vegas. It's Saturday night and it's 10 minutes of 8 and the store closes at 8. And I'm fiddling around with clothes and I find a few things that I want. And all the salespeople are talking to one another. Mm-hmm. You ever see that?
Oh, yeah.
So I walked over to the salespeople and I said, could I please talk to the store manager? Mm-hmm. And this guy comes over and I said, look, I'm going to buy all these clothing, but none of these guys get the commission because they didn't do shit. I have a salesperson in Charlotte at the Neiman Marcus named Charles Wiggins. And if he doesn't get the commission, you can shove this clothing up your ass. And he got it.
Oh, that's great.
They gave him the commission.
He's like the hero.
Oh, my God. The store hero of Neiman Marcus. But
oh, that's awesome.
What it says is they prejudged me.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens in everything. I mean, you know, I was prejudged when I first got the job with Lamborghini. Like, you know, these guys were like, oh, you don't know anything about cars. You're just a woman. You know, you're just going to sell cars because you have TNA. You don't know anything about what you're talking about. I had to work 10 times harder just to prove that, like, no, I do know cars. My dad's a car guy. I grew up with cars. I love cars. Like, fuck you.
But in a nice kind of way.
But I love that you didn't just – so a lot of females, and I can say this because I'm a girl. Mm-hmm. You can't, Jeffrey. But a lot of females would let that get to them.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was hard. I mean, of course, it gets to you a little bit, all the comments and things. I mean, they say awful things. Oh, I know what you do on a test drive. You know, like there's all kinds of comments, you know, and you just have to let it roll off. And the clients, they like dealing with women. We're mm-hmm. really great with the designing of their cars, you know, our suggestions with, you know, the color combos and the way we put the cars together. And, you know, and I also drive like a man, I guess, you know, hopefully a man that knows how to drive. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So it worked out. But it was definitely a struggle in the beginning.
How long of a struggle?
Judgment of coworkers didn't take too long. About a year. Yeah, and then I was making four times their income about 2 years in. Yeah,
exactly.
So, boom.
That's yeah. when they
then
really,
it didn't matter anymore
no,
for you.
They shut yeah. up and left me alone. And then I started doing the YouTube channel and the social media, and it just snowballed.
Isn't so. It amazing wow. how jealous people become or opinionated people become about what is social and how does it work? And then all of a sudden it starts to work and they look like jackasses, but they're already 2 years behind the curve.
Yeah, it's hard to catch up too. It's like it's really hard to catch up. I mean, there are YouTubers out there with, you know, 10 times my following. You mm-hmm. know, they do crazy antics online. They spend money on promotion. Mine's all organic. And like I said, I just kept it true to the brand, true to my brand, you know. But I didn't do it for fame or to become like some famous YouTuber. It was just to help awareness of the brand, let people know I'm out there, you know, because when mm-hmm. I first came to Toronto, there was no Lamborghini. I remember it was funny. I was working for this hothead Italian and he didn't know me from Adam. You know, I was new to the dealership and I was like, hey, there's this event down the street tonight and there's going to be 2,000 kids there. I want to take an Aventador. And that's like the flagship car, right? And I was new. I'd been working there like a month and the car was about 600,000, right? The value of the car. And he's like, you know, and he's thinking this is a new employee. She's yeah. never driven an Aventador. She wants to go to an event with 2,000 kids. And he's like, why do you want to take a $600,000 car to an event with 2,000 kids who can't buy the car? I said, because every fucking one of them has a cell phone. And they're going to be taking pictures and they're going to be tweeting and Instagramming and they're going to be sharing. And everyone will know we're here. Trust me. The next day, everyone knew we were there. I took that car. I rolled it in. I told the guy that was over the event, I'm like, I want a man on every corner of this car. I'm going to creep it in first. I'm going to lift the doors up. I'm going to rev the shit out of it. I'm going to get out in my mini skirt and high heels, say hi to a few people, and then I'm going to blow out of here. And he's like, okay. And I did. And the next day, we had like so many calls. My boss was like, what did you do? Like, everyone is calling. And I remember opening the door and I had my lubies on and I stepped out of the car and they were like, oh shit, a bitch is driving. Like, it went crazy. Like, they were going crazy because it was little boys and they're freaking out because first it's an Aventador, then a girl gets out. They're like, their mind is blown, you know? But it worked. Like, everyone knew we were there.
It is Motivation Monday. So, we're going to be talking about baseball, but it's not just about baseball. It's about spring training, and it's about getting in shape, and it's about doing the fundamental things that you need to do to get into sales shape. And most salespeople already think they're in shape and they're making a huge mistake. They have a couple of years of experience. They don't renew themselves at all. See, spring training is a renewal. Some of these athletes have been playing baseball for 30 years of their lives. They still go to spring training. They still run laps. They still get into shape. They still hit balls in the batting cage. They still take fielding practice, and they still do calisthenics every single spring.
And we talked about this a little bit. I don't know if you guys have heard it, but on the episode with Alan Stein, which we'll link to you as well, we talked about keeping in shape with the fundamentals.
Yep.
And now we're going to give you our take and go much deeper into it.
I concur, Jen. Yeah. You start.
All right. So what are you doing? There are certain things you need to be doing, diehard you, to get back to your fundamentals. Okay. And we're going to talk about.
Not the basics, by the way, the fundamentals.
No. Well, let's talk about the difference.
Okay. The basics are something that happened 20 years ago. The fundamentals are something that may have happened 20 years ago, but it's also happening today. So 20 years ago, you may not have had email.
Mm-hmm.
But today, your fundamentals need to include email. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you're wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't need email. I don't need that social media crap. I don't need that Twitter crap. Even though the President of the United States has 60 million followers.
Does he?
I don't know.
I don't know, but he won an election based on Twitter.
Twitter, right.
Yeah, so did Obama. I mean, it's pretty phenomenal. Like, people who say, I don't need Twitter, and then you look at, like, who's running the country, and they got there by Twitter.
Exactly.
It's amazing. All right, so let's talk about what some of the fundamental sales practices you need in order to be in sales shape.
Right. So let's look at number one. What is my reputation? When I walk into a customer's office, they're going to Google me. What are they going to find? And some salespeople say, well, they're going to just Google the company. No, they're not, dude. They're Googling you. If I'm going to spend an hour with you, I'm going to find out who the hell you are way before you walk into the meeting. I want to find out what you like and what you don't like, or I want to find out if you have any kind of social presence whatsoever. I'm going to look at your website. Well, I don't have a website. Right, I'm going to find that out. And so you're going to say, well, let me tell you a little bit about my company. When you walk in the door, I don't give a shit about your company. I only care about why you're here and how that's going to help me. So if that's not evident on your, and I'll give you an answer for that, just so we're not, you know, poking at it. You register your name.com tonight. And even
but Jeffrey, my name's Adam Smith, and right. That name's already taken.
Right. So you put the great Adam Smith, the one and only Adam
the best
fucking
Adam Smith.
Right. Exactly. Adam Smith, damn straight. And you get .com, and then you write a one-page website on GoDaddy, which will sell you the name and the website, how I treat my customers, my philosophy for how I treat customers. That's all you need. Or maybe a second page with pictures of your kids. Or your car,
mm-hmm.
or something that will get you to let the person know you're human. Salespeople just don't do that. It's a differentiator. So you might walk into a sales meeting and the guy says, hey, I was on your website last night. You go, thanks. Yeah, I printed out your philosophy of how you treat customers. I've never seen that before. Right. There's a reason why you want to go the extra foot, not the extra mile, the extra foot. Where salespeople will go home, drink a fucking beer, and watch a stupid-ass television show and think they're ready for their next day. Like a fool.
Okay, so part of that fundamental would be prepping at night for the next day.
Aha!
Part of those fundamentals would be something we talked about in the 2020 Sales Vision Group yesterday. What are you doing on Sunday to prepare for your entire week? Part of those fundamentals would be, okay, think about like a baseball player who wakes up to go to a game, right?
Yeah.
Do you think they just wake up and like roll in and
He shows up like you do. You take a shower and you drink a cup of coffee and you go to the ballpark.
No, that baseball player, I guarantee it, has a routine that they do every single game day. Okay, if your Monday through Friday is sales game day, then what are you doing every morning?
To get ready and practicing the fundamentals of what it takes to win the game today. Well, when I was a kid, screw when you were a kid. I want to know what they're doing to win today. And if you can't win today, you need to change the game. You need to get out of what you're doing right now. And go do something that makes you happy.
So I've broken down the fundamentals into a couple of different categories, and I'm sure you can add to these, but then let's expand on them.
Okay.
So we've got morning routines.
Yeah.
We've got building connections like prospecting and networking. We have value attraction, We have sales integrity, like, are you going to do what you say you're going to do, which includes following up and following through, yep. And we have preparation.
And I'm talking about we need to add a third sort of 0.5 category, mm-hmm. and that is game day. Mm. When you have a sales appointment and you're meeting with someone that can say yes to you, mm-hmm. that's an entirely different preparation process.
Okay, so let's go through that first.
What, game day?
Game day.
Okay.
It's sales game day.
I'm meeting with someone that can say yes to me, or at least I think he or she can say yes to me because they told me that they were the decision maker.
Yeah.
You may want to start out by not asking, are you the decision maker, but rather, how will the decision be made? That's a differentiator.
Yeah, because are you the decision maker can be offensive to someone who's not the decision maker.
Yeah, like, okay. I decide shit around here. This is
you
my
do,
whole.
Jeffrey.
That's correct. I do. I decide everything except what we're doing tonight or tomorrow.
This has been a Sell or Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to GittimerLearningAcademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher and come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.